Tonight, we are on concept two, page C6 in the back of the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual with Billy N of Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Throughout this free flow presentation, he will entertain questions on the concepts that have been sent to him directly in the chat. I will start by reading concept two again on page C6. Concept two. When, in 1955, the AA groups confirmed the permanent charter for their General Service Conference, they thereby delegated to the conference complete authority for the active maintenance of our world services and thereby made the conference accepting for any change in the 12 traditions or in Article 12 of the conference charter, the actual voice and the effective conscience for our whole society. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thank you. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. Just want to share one thing with everyone before we start in tonight is that there's actually a line in the beginning of the second concept that says the power of the groups and the members to alter their world service structure and to criticize its operation is virtually supreme. Sometimes people who criticize, it's not what they have to say, it's how they say it. So I just want to remind people of and then sometimes we have other AA leaders who say that no one has a right to have an opinion, which is obviously completely crazy. But there's the choice to stay in the system or work outside the system. And you can write emails and letters and post in private groups online, but if you are not part of the solution in the system, change is probably not going to happen. I want to share a text I got on Saturday, because believe it or not, I won't pick on the area because then I would get called out for picking on people. I have to tell you that there was one area left in the country where not only the background for the General Service Conference, but the final conference agenda was not shared with GSRs and DCMs. It was just historic that they just didn't share it with the groups in the districts. And I heard about this 4 years ago, which when I first heard about it, I thought it was a complete lie and exaggeration and no way possible true until I was in that area and realized, wow, this is true. But anyway, I got a text. I just want to read it to you. I got this Saturday, just an FYI, because you've answered some questions about this particular item. A motion just passed in our assembly to provide the General Service Conference, full conference agenda items, and background information available to all DCMs and GSRs. Someone else put it in. I didn't even need to do it this time. So, 4 years might not be the time period that everyone had in mind to change something that seems so egregious. But the moral of the story is it changed. It changed. And it just took time inside our structure. But if you're just complaining, writing emails, or saying ugly things to people, or commenting online, you're not going to get that kind of change. It has to grow from within the area. And the only way to do that is to keep people informed about our principles, whether they are the traditions or the concepts or the structure. So tonight we're on concept two. Brooke already read it. I already read the first thing I have highlighted. I just want to stress it again, the power of the groups and members to alter their world service structure and to criticize its operation is virtually supreme. So there is nothing wrong with criticizing the way we do things. It's again the way you do it. And then it says they, referring to the groups in the previous sentence, have all the final responsibility and authority that there is. The operation is really theirs. They really own it. This has been true ever since the groups took over from the founders and the old timers at St. Louis in 1955. So while the legal owners might be the trustees, see what this concept is saying. The spiritual owners of the groups, and their power is supreme. I know that there are some people currently in service who will debate me on this, and that is okay. I give them the same response I give a lot of people. Just tell me what page you're telling me it's on. Just show me the page. The operation is really theirs. They really own it. And so why do we have this conference? Because could you imagine inviting all the groups to like Madison Square Garden for a day, all the GSRs? It would be complete insanity. So we have 93 delegates in the United States and Canada. We have six regions. I'm sorry, we have eight regions. I was mistaken there. We have six in the US and two in Canada. We have, and by the way, if I say something that you don't know, then put it in the chat. We don't say the names of people who ask questions here. Or send an email later on. But we have six regions in the US. The Northeast, the Southeast, the East Central, the West Central, the Southwest, and the Pacific region. We have two in Canada. We have Western Canada and Eastern Canada. But we have 93 delegates that get to go to the General Service Conference, and they represent 70% of the vote of the General Service Conference is directly tied to the groups. 135 people, usually around voting members, 93 are area delegates. It goes on to say in the second paragraph, but an ultimate authority and responsibility in the AA group's world services, if that is all there were to it, could not amount to anything. Nothing could be accomplished on that basis alone. In order to get effective action, the groups must delegate the actual operational authority to chosen service representatives who are fully empowered to speak and act for them. If you go down to the fourth paragraph, it talks about at the end, first of all, Dr. Bob transferred nearly all of his immediate responsibility for the creation of World Services to me. Dr. Bob was sick. In New York, we stood a better chance of finding friends and funds, and we saw that our World Service Center consequently would have to be located in that city. I started the search for trusted non-alcoholic friends who could help. In 1938, the Alcoholic Foundation was formed as a small trusteeship of AA members and our non-alcoholic friends. I think I posted a couple of weeks ago in one of the AA private groups about was the 87th anniversary, I want to say, of the first meeting of the General Service Board when it was called the Alcoholic Foundation. It's been going on since then. It looks very different than it did then. Then it was, when it first opened up, it was five trustees, three non-alcoholic, two alcoholic. And the reason it was like that was to make sure that if the, remember, sobriety was not like it is today. I know we like to point back like everything was perfect since Mother's Day 1935 and none of the old timers drank. Between when AA started and when the book was published, so many of the first 100 had relapsed. Sobriety was a brand new thing. Alcoholics Anonymous was a brand new thing. They kept the board majority non-alcoholic so that if all the alcoholics on the board drank, they could still have a meeting. That's really the real reason. It wasn't until 1966 that the board and the conference voted to go majority alcoholic, minority non-alcoholic, the way it remains today. 21 trustees, 14 alcoholic, 7 non-alcoholic. They will up that to 15 next year, just so you know. They're looking, because the current chair of the board is a non-alcohol is an alcoholic, a Class B, Scott H. So they'll have 15 alcoholic and 7 non-alcoholic. It goes on to say, for example, in 1940, a year after the book Alcoholics Anonymous was published, we all saw that this great new asset had to be put in trust for the whole fellowship. Therefore, the stock ownership of Works Publishing, Inc., was turned over to the Board of Trustees. Works Publishing was Bill and Hank's company. Hank P., Bill W. That's the company they sold worthless stock certificates to people in AA and other people. And just so you know, the book was a complete failure when it was first published. Sat in warehouses forever. It wasn't until the Saturday Evening Post and the Liberty Magazine articles that that book really started to sell. It goes on to say nearly all the income from the AA book was then needed to finance the overall service office that we had set up for AA. The trustees therefore presently took over the primary management of the office operation because they were now responsible for the funds upon which its support depended. Consequently, so far as financial decisions were concerned, I became an advisor only. Another sizable chunk of my original authority was thus delegated. When in 1941 the AA groups began to send contributions to the Alcoholic Foundation for the support of our overall service office, the trustees' control of our world service monies became complete. I just want to point that out because it's a good, if you're looking for questions to ask at some late night crazy big book trivia convention at some AA event, we didn't accept contributions between 1935 and 1940. 40. It wasn't until 41 when the trustees really got that office established that we started taking contributions from the groups. It goes on to say two paragraphs down, notwithstanding these delegations, Dr. Bob and I did quite properly feel that we still held an ultimate responsibility to AA and to the future for the proper organization and structuring of our AA World Services. If anything were to go wrong with them, we would be held accountable because the group still looked to us rather than their little-known trustees for leadership in AA's world affairs. In the course of these developments, the great difference between ultimate and immediate service authority became apparent. And that's important to remember. If you're taking notes, this is one of them. Ultimate is never used in the service manual or the charter or the concepts to describe the powers of the trustees. They have delegated or immediate authority. Ultimate is only used to reference the authority held by the conference. As early as 1945, remember, pre-traditions, it became evident that the co-founder's ultimate responsibility and authority for services should never be wholly vested in the Board of Trustees. Certainly, our trustees must be given a large share of the active and immediate responsibility. But the ultimate and final responsibility, which Dr. Bob and I still possessed, simply could not be transferred to a self-appointing board, which was relatively unknown among AAs as a whole. But where, when would our ultimate responsibility for world services be lodged? And what would become of my own leadership in world service matters? AA history now shows where the ultimate authority finally went. At St. Louis, it went from Dr. Bob and me to the groups themselves. And it's important to note about this day-to-day delegated immediate authority. That is for business practices. That is for the day-to-day operation of the office. That is for the medical insurance, the furniture, the payroll, the retirement. Anything AA recovery related, Bill and Bob was still the final say. And sometimes when I look at trouble in AA today, even looking back, and having hindsight as my friend, I don't know if they had the term stay in your lane back then. But I mean, on a lot of levels, starting with driving, alcoholics are not the right people to talk about staying in your lane, right? I'm not sure whether they're worth staying in your lane, driving or their business and what's not their business. I might argue on any day that they're worse at staying in their lane at what's not their business than they are even when they're driving. But when you look at the conference and the trustees, when the conference starts micromanaging the board about business practices, that's not good. It could mean that we're not selecting the right people to be trustees to watch over the business practices, which is why the election of those trustees is so important. But the other is true too. What happens when the trustees focus less on business and more on AA recovery? The kind of decisions that the early board went to Bill and Bob for. Those decisions today need to be made by the groups through the General Service Conference, not the General Service Board, not the Grapevine, not AA World Services. And one could maybe think that sometimes if the board gets too distracted by micromanaging the AA recovery side, that it takes its eye off the ball on the business side. I'm talking in general over many years, not throwing balls currently at the current board. It says, but the group's acceptance of ultimate service authority and responsibility was not enough. No matter what authority the groups had, they could not meet their new responsibilities until they actually delegated most of their active ones. It was precisely in order to meet this need that the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous was given the general responsibility for the maintenance of AA's world services, and so became the conscience for AA as a whole. Year to year, there's not a lot of emergencies for the trustees to deal with. There are emergencies that come up business-wise, but not AA-wise. It's the rare circumstance where we can't wait until the next conference and have 93 area delegates present to really discuss an important issue. It goes on to say, exactly as Dr. Bob had and I had found it necessary to delegate a large part of our active authority to the trustees, so have the AA group since found it necessary to delegate these same powers to their General Service Conference. The final say, the ultimate sanction in matters of large importance, has not been given to the trustees alone. I want to read that sentence again. The final say, the ultimate sanction in large matters of importance, has not been given to the trustees alone. By the conference charter confirmed at St. Louis, this authority is now delegated to the AA groups and thence to their conference, a body of which is a representative cross-section of our fellowship. And remember, the trustees and 15 of the staff members and non-trustee directors on AAWS and AA Grapevine are members of the conference. It's not an us and them situation. The conference, every one of those 135 people have one vote. They're all equal. What's not equal is when we get to concept four, and it was designed not to be equal. The people are equal because we know about our alcoholic egos. We don't need to say that one person is more important than another. However, the basic framework of everything we have is that the groups are the most important of the four categories of voting members of the General Service Conference. Those are the area delegates, the trustee delegates, the director delegates, and the staff delegates. And we'll really dive into that in concept four. It says, therefore, the General Service Conference of AA, plus any later form sanctions, has become nearly every practical purpose, the active voice, and the effective conscience of our society and world affairs. In making this momentous transfer, we old timers deeply hope that we avoid those pitfalls into which societies have so often fallen because their originators have failed their lifetimes to properly delegate and distribute their own authority, responsibility, and leadership. And I would point out, if you're not familiar with what the conference looked like in the beginning, we did it a couple of months ago, but I'll have the original service manual PDF put in this Google Drive because it didn't look a lot like it looked today. And so we have this conference, and we have sometimes confusing terms. So if you're new to service, panel numbers can be confusing. And God knows, once a delegate gets a panel number, it is like their identification for the rest of their life, right? Not only current, but past, you know? So I am a panel 49 delegate, which means I'm really old. That's what it means. That means that in 1999, I went to my first conference. Thank God I was the youngest delegate that year, or I'd really have more of a complex than I already do. But your panel number comes from the first year of your service, not the year you were elected. And the first General Service Conference had half the delegates because only panel one went. And we have odd and even panels. Your area is either an odd or an even panel number. Not the area number. Area numbers, by the way, didn't come out until the 80s. They didn't even exist. The states were put in alphabetical order. The states that had bigger populations who had two or three delegates had two or three delegates. If you look at areas 92 and 93 now, they're out of alphabetical order. That's because Washington State split in the 90s and Eastern Washington became Area 92, or Western Washington, sorry. And then in Los Angeles in 99 or 2000, split. One of the Southern California areas split, had way too many groups. And so they're Area 93 now. They were Area 5. Now Area 5 was split into Area 5 and Area 93. But panel numbers are what year you served at the conference. And the first AA panels were divided into one and two. So the first year, only panel ones came. I want to give a little history there and maybe dispel a little urban myth. Sometimes I'll hear people who come from an area that had a panel one delegate and almost insinuate that that meant their area was more important. And that's why they were in panel one. I just want to tell you that is absolutely not true. It was just luck of alphabetical order. But the second General Service Conference in 1952 had both panels, panel one, panel two. The third General Service Conference had panel two, panel three. Delegates serve a 2-year term. So, I'm a panel 49 delegate, but I went to the 49th and the 50th General Service Conference. Are, for the most part, unless an alternate or something happens where somebody has to serve, but for the most part, we have first and second year delegates. The conference is split pretty even between first and second year delegates. In 1999, I was a first year delegate. In 2000, I was a second year delegate. Last year's conference, which was 2024, the second year delegates were panel 73 delegates. The first year delegates were panel 74. The panel number goes by when you start that January 1st, not when you were elected. So this fall, in many of your areas, half of your areas, we'll have elections. And those elections, when they happen, will elect the panel 75 delegate because the first conference they come to and when they start serving will be January 1st, 2025. So next year, the first year delegates that just got home from conference will next year be the second year delegates. This has been going on a long time. The first 5 years were really tests. It was not till the resolution was passed in the Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis, July 4th weekend, 1955, that the resolution was passed that you can find in the service manual to turn it officially over to the groups. And then when 1956 came, there was a real General Service Conference where the groups had all the power. And it's been going that way since then. Delegates do not. Their local area elects them, but their job is to do the best for Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. If you read the conference charter, all the concepts, that's their job. However, I do want to point out, because I pointed it out a couple of weeks ago, delegates are allowed to be instructed by their area. I'm not saying it should happen a lot, often. Probably shouldn't even happen a little. But there are those once-in-a-lifetime situations where the conference charter does say the groups can instruct their delegate. The delegate's job really is to be the communication going and coming from the General Service Conference, and as such, the General Service Office and the AA Grapevine Office. Communication is the number one job. The difficulty with that is that we have, I don't want to say we're in the middle of a communication revolution. I'm not even sure that would describe it enough. I wasn't alive for the Industrial Revolution. But the books I read tend to say that manufacturing in the world changed dramatically. Well, I would tell you that since 1990s, communication has changed dramatically, really dramatically. And so that's why when I told you that example of that there was still one area where the delegate didn't share the final conference agenda or the conference background with GSRs or delegates, while I find that shocking, I know where it comes from. It comes from 40, 50 years ago. Even when I became a delegate, I got a package in the mail this big. This big. Like a package of paper. My second year a delegate, I was allowed to get the square discs, like rubber band together, like 15 of them, if you remember those square discs. And so here's where I say, I'm not blaming people. We've just been very slow to catch up and stay with the times. I want to take you back to like even the 80s. I had a paper route in the 80s. I did. I'm not sure those people want to know that their teenage paper boy was already in AA, in and out of AA. That's not a good sign for your paper boy. What was the world like for those delegates who served then? Well, I'll describe the world the best I knew it as a teenager. There were two kinds of newspaper boys in my town. There was the daytime newspaper and the nighttime newspaper. That's when people got their news. Once a day, 24 hours late. Or there was like three or four TV channels before cable. Where I lived, there was ABC, NBC, CBS, and then WOR, which played the Mets, and Channel 11, which was some other local station. And if people wanted to watch the news, they had to watch the local news at 6 or the world news at 7. There was no 24-hour-a-day news. There was no rebroadcast of the news. There was an 11 o'clock news, but even back then, the 11 o'clock news was for people who stayed up late. The 6 o'clock news was for people who went to bed early. And the point I'm trying to make is the expectations of the general public about receiving news are not what they are today. Today, people get alerts on their phones. Today, people can set settings for alerts on different subjects. Today, you could have a video pop up live on your iPhone if you've programmed it in to watch certain news when an emergency happens. We've just been very slow to catch up. In 1995, that's around the time our website came about, between 93 and 95, up and down, trying to get it right. But even when I started serving as a director in 2009, I remember people, older trustees, older staff reminding me that Billy, the website is not for the fellowship. I would challenge you all, get a service manual from like 2000, 2003, 2007. The website's purpose was public information. I remember one time I raised my hand and I said, "Shouldn't we use the website for this?" "Nope, nope, Billy. We only use the website for public information." So think about, like, delegates pass on how they do their job. I'll tell you another good description of myself as a delegate. I am a we now have post-COVID delegates, right? They're delegates after COVID, after the pandemic, right? I was a pre-PowerPoint delegate. That's like impossible to wrap your head around. That meant I had to do my report back to my area without PowerPoint. I'm like an overhead projector transparency delegate, believe it or not. And the only reason I'm saying that is, look at the gifts technology has given us regarding reporting and sharing that conference experience. Sometimes I think I get labeled as like an anti-technology or a PowerPoint person about reporting. I'm not anti-technology. I'm anti-PowerPoint when more of the slides are about ice cream and stepping stones than actually what happened at the General Service Conference. That's what I am. That's the honest truth. Do I want people to know that each region has an ice cream night and there's a lot of fellowship and meeting people from other parts of the country are amazing? Yes, it's one of the greatest parts of serving. But when you're reporting back, the delegate's job is to report back what happened at the conference, the business of the conference. And there's so many ways to use technology, and I've seen so many great delegates since then. I'm a little glad that we're past like the, I call it the adolescent stage of technology for Alcoholics Anonymous. Was an interesting time between, like, I don't know, 2005 and 2015, because you would get delegates who were super technology savvy who went to PowerPoint and other things, but then the delegate elected after them used no technology. So it would go back and forth. Today, people elect the delegate of all ages utilize technology. It's amazing in the beginning when we talked about technology and serving, we were so afraid that no one would be able to afford a computer, right? Today we know that most social welfare agencies that work for counties, states, and cities use email to stay in touch with their clients. Today we know that even if you look at the Spanish literature that's accessed on our website, over 70% of it comes from a smartphone, not even a computer or a tablet. So the world has changed, and I think we're still catching up to it. And I think the last couple of years, the last 10 years, we've done an amazing job of allowing people to really feel like they're part of the conference. What have we not done a good job at? Information. We have all these challenges because, let's face it, all you have to do is go to one regional forum Prasa or Narasa or even some non-service AA event, and what happens? You meet people from other parts that you don't usually see in your AA life. Then you start staying in touch with them by email, maybe social media, text, WhatsApp groups, God knows what else. And so one of the things that's caused a little problem today is that, and by today I mean in the last 15 years for sure, is that what happens when people don't share information with their area because they think it's none of their area's business? Well, they're going to hear about it from another delegate or from a friend of theirs who heard about it from a friend of theirs who heard about it from another delegate. Like, the thirst for information in today's society and timeliness of information has changed the game. I think that's the most number one requirement, is to be an effective communicator. And we're built on a system of phone calls and US mail. That was our communication system. Most of the original areas, the map was drawn up around area codes so that people doing service wouldn't have to make long distance calls doing service. How did we send out Box 459 and the conference report and everything else? By good old US mail. And there was a good part of that. I don't want to put it down. I miss the days when a GSR or a DCM got a couple of Box 459s in the mail because they could put them on the table near the coffee pot or near the literature rack. And somebody who doesn't know what service is would see it and read it, and maybe their lights would come on. So we need to do a better job of transmitting information, not just electronically. But we have this problem, and the communication audit of a couple of years ago, it said that our communication system was a problem. I do see, and I am in favor of it, doesn't matter because I can't help it. I am very happy to see that some delegate areas have decided that they don't no longer do the delegate to the area chair, the area chair to the district chairs, the district chairs to the DCMs, the DCMs to the GSRs. We're not talking about postage. We're talking about emails. We're not even talking about the cost of making copies or printing. I do see many areas now that when the delegate hits the send button, it goes to everybody at the same time. I don't think that means I'm against the structure. I think it means that I embrace how people live today and how they their thirst for information. A couple of things about the delegate in the conference. As I said, the service manual and the concepts in the charter talk about a very limited time when an area should instruct a delegate. But yes, the delegate has right of decision at the conference. They do not have right of decision about not telling you how they voted. This kind of fallacy gets out there. If anything, it's a learning tool for the assembly. If your area was really in favor of something and the delegate learned there something else and decided to not vote that way, what a learning lesson that is about our group conscience procedure. About listening to all the information, about not being afraid to have an open mind, and maybe there's something you heard that changes your mind. But there is no right of decision about holding information back from GSRs and DCMs. I will tell you, if you're new to service, and this is the perfect time to learn. Because it's September. We're not quite in playoff season yet, but we soon will be. And what I mean by that is the final conference agenda and the background will go out in February. Right now, most of you probably have a fall and a winter assembly that's coming, depending on how many you have. Now is the perfect time to find out how your area deals with conference agenda items. Because that's the other problem. I know I don't have my, I have my 12 concepts book here, not my service manual, but the service manual is great. But we have 93 autonomous areas that do business differently. Not every area has a pre-conference assembly or a mini conference, like we call them. Some areas go through all the agenda items. Some areas just go through some. Some areas, the officers or the delegate visit each of the districts and go through the agenda items. Some areas, the delegate and the past delegates decide which are the real hot button 10 agenda items, and let's get feedback on them. I'm not here to say any way is wrong. I do know this. Out of the 80 or so agenda items, the average group member, and a good percentage of them, does not have the information that a delegate has to make an informed decision. But there are some hot button topics that the groups feel strongly about. And that's the real job of a delegate, is to really go through that agenda and say, wow, which of these do the groups really want to talk about? Now, an easy test when you look at the agenda is, which of these are the groups going to be so pissed off about if this thing actually passes? That's the test. And you know, there's different segments in AA, pro, con, everything, but there's certain items that raise the bar. Anything to do with the big book, not just the plain language big book, anything to do with the big book. The preamble. The prayer we use to close at the International Convention. You know what's funny is I travel a good bit in AA, and I find it interesting now that it's not the preamble and it's not the plain language big book that I'm hearing people talk about the most. It's the divided society on prayer. The people who are so happy we're not going to use the Lord's Prayer, and the people who are so upset we're not going to use the Lord's Prayer. That's the topic I hear people talking about regarding the International Convention. But that's the job of a really good delegate. And the other thing I want to stress is, you know, everybody knows. I've finally figured this out where, because I know when I say that I don't support service sponsorship, I know the emails and texts that I get. How can you say that? You have service sponsees. Like, I get it. My view of a service sponsor is just very different than what it has turned into, that it was never meant to be. First of all, if you're a GSR or a DCM, I don't think you need a service sponsor. I think you need a service mentor who's done that job before. You're fine with one sponsor who's taking care of your recovery. I think instead of saying that I don't like service sponsorship, since we don't call regular sponsorship recovery sponsorship, we just say my regular sponsor or our step sponsor, I'm going to start calling it traditions and concepts sponsor. So that my job has nothing to do with telling you how to do your job, or you have to do it just like me, or what your flyers should look like, or what font should be on your flyer. And I'm not making that up. Those are real questions I've received. No, my job should be to take you through the traditions and the concepts so that you have the principles in your life and you can serve. But that being said, I want to talk about elections because we're in election season. Nobody deserves to be a delegate. I just want to get that out there. Delegate is not a lifetime achievement award at the Academy Awards, okay? Just because someone has served for 18 or 25 years does not mean they deserve to be delegate. No one deserves anything in AA regarding titles. I'm sure people know this experience at the group level. If someone is a bad alternate cake person or alternate coffee person, they do not mysteriously become a good full coffee person or cake person. Like, if somebody is a bad alternate delegate, they shouldn't be delegate. It's very simple to me. You have to elect the best person. That might be your alternate delegate. I'm just saying we should never be in a position where we feel it has to be. We should be electing the best person per concept nine. Who has the best ability to put four things in their life as your delegate? Flexibility, tolerance, vision, and responsibility. The four qualities that Bill W. throws out in concept nine. Because if you were adding things up in a column, vision plus flexibility plus tolerance equals responsibility. Lack of vision, intolerance, inflexibility equals irresponsibility. Elect the best person. Sometimes people don't realize the ultimate right of decision for a GSR is that you get to elect the delegate, not your group. It's a critical, critical election. And the other thing is, just because your area handled pre-conference agenda item review one way 40 years ago, doesn't mean you need to do it today. I remember when the first mini conference started in Ohio. Mini conference is where you let your assembly actually act like the General Service Conference. You assign tables as a committee. You let that committee come up with a recommendation or no recommendation. You let them announce it to the floor and you have debate. And you kind of teach what the General Service Conference is like. Thank God today, you know, I'll say too on the conference that we translate the background information into Spanish and French. Since 2016, it breaks my heart to even say that. Most people in AA service today do not understand that between, especially when email and Dropbox became usable, but between 2005 and 2015, 17, we had an underground railroad to do translation of Spanish. The Quebec area of Canada did a much better job for their members than we did in America for our Spanish-speaking audience. We actually had to have a lot of volunteer translators in certain areas, because that's the other thing. We used to treat the conference background like it was the most confidential material in the world. I'm just letting you know, we're not the CIA, we're not the NSA. If you think there is an Area 51 section of the AA archives, I hate to disappoint you. There's not. There is no big deep state AA secrets. But we did everything we could not to provide the Spanish community with background. I even got in trouble one year with a couple of other people. Because one of the areas that did a lot of the translation in this so-called Underground Railroad elected a delegate that said, I'm not giving it, I'm not doing it. That goes against the conference procedure. And so, because I had my own background as a non-trustee director, I just sent it to him. But I did that because I believe strongly that a Spanish-speaking GSR should have the same ability to become a delegate and a trustee that I have. And anything less than that violates Bill W's talk about we don't have second-class citizens in Alcoholics Anonymous. We just don't. So, the conference evolves, but these mini conferences, when some areas heard about them, they were like, oh my God, we're never doing that. They started in Ohio. They moved east, a little west. All I'm saying is, you don't have to do it the same way you did it the year before. But that doesn't mean be ugly. It means think about it. Put a motion forward. Talk to your delegate. And the last thing I'm just going to say is for GSRs. You maybe have two business meetings by the time the background material comes out and your delegate goes to conference. You probably have one business meeting between when the background comes out and when your delegate takes feedback from your area or district. You have to have a plan with your group. You're going to have a special section of the business meeting or a special night. Have a plan. And inside that plan, don't try to review all 82 items with your group. If you never want them to show up again in any future year of agenda review, do not try to review all 82. Pick out the ones that you know they can't wait to talk about. Pick out the ones that makes them thirsty for wanting to talk about the future of the fellowship. So that's it. I am going to ask for questions if anyone has a question. Someone wrote Walter Cronkite was the news. That's true. I mean, that is true. That was the news. I don't understand why the recommendations as a result of the communications audit were never shared with the fellowship. Well, neither do I. I know there was some that was shared. I don't know why 10 or 15 areas didn't put in agenda items that said share the communications audit, the entire thing, with the fellowship. Even if it fails the first year, it gets more people talking about it. Is it entirely feasible that one day, just maybe, we would be able to have a process in terms of getting General Service Conference and/or alerts as similar as one gets their alerts? The tech is certainly possible today. Well, that's interesting. I will tell you this, as someone who was there at the beginning of the communications audit and a driving force to make sure it got done, I wasn't there when it was finished. But one of the things we knew, but it's sacrilege in AA, was that the delegate communication system was not working. It was working very poorly. And that's kind of something not okay to say in AA sometimes. That some delegates embrace technology and getting information out to their groups. Others felt that there was some protective mantle they had to keep over it, or didn't embrace modern technology. But one of the things the communication audit company talked about was, should there be more things that just go directly to the groups? Why is there this interference of delegate, DCM, area chair. Listen, I'm not saying those people shouldn't get it also. But in this day and age, why do we have to send it to one, to send it to the other, to send it to another? The groups still hold the ultimate responsibility by electing the delegate and the delegate making the decision how to vote at the conference. But information has just been, we've just been so bad with it. You said that the GSB has delegated authority only. Don't they have ultimate service authority over the service corporations? They do, but that ultimate authority was delegated by the conference to them. And I would tell you this, legally, they don't. Legally, those are two independent companies that are not subsidiaries. The General Service Board has to give notice to have an emergency meeting of the members of AAWS or AA Grapevine. And really, their only power is to replace the directors or elect new ones. But yes, they have great authority over the service corporations, but they get that authority from the groups. I think this is my feeling. I know I was an AAWS non-trustee director and an AAWS general service trustee, and I'm definitely not talking the party line here. I'm supposed to be more pro AAWS. But how do I say this kindly? While we are a separate legal company, and while we have the ultimate authority for our own company legally, I think we had a breakdown when AAWS or the AA Grapevine at any time started acting like they didn't have a spiritual superior, who is the General Service Board. I hear people say that about the Grapevine. They have total editorial freedom. I'm like, Tradition 9 says that the trustees are responsible for the integrity of the Grapevine, the long form. Yeah, they have editorial freedom until they blow it, until they start printing articles about people having multiple home groups or not being alcoholic and holding positions in the AA service structure. That's integrity issues. Let's see. Example of the conference micromanaging GSB, please, or vice versa. That's a really good question. I'm not sure that micromanaging sometimes comes in the form of advisory actions as much as it comes in a lot of rebel rousing. I think the boards need great authority to deal with the legal issues and with the business issues. The conference, I'll give you an answer. The board publishing the big book on the Kindle without going to the conference is one of the greatest mistakes ever in the history of AA World Services. They should have gone out months before and clued the fellowship in, because that blew up in our face. That was our big book. The conference is very protective around the big book. I'll tell you another one. When the fourth edition was printed, there was a specific advisory action that said no changes to the first 164 pages, including the doctor's opinion, the prefaces, and the forewords. And it used a very complicated word with only two letters. No. No changes. What did the publications department do? They decided to make some punctuation changes. Like, what didn't they hear about no changes?
Billy, I gotta cut in.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's 9 o'clock. Bring your questions back next week. Thank you.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.